lights out and away we go.
And we're your hosts. I'm Diane Bortoletto.
And I'm Monique Chicardo. Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to And Away We Go Formula One podcast, a podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about the travel, food, and lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm Monique Chicardo, your post-Drive to Survive Formula One fan, and today I'm sitting alone in my office in Stavanger in Norway because Diane is currently on a cruise. She's almost in Venice, and unfortunately, the Wi-Fi is not strong enough for us to have a full conversation. So I will keep this podcast brief because I'm sure you don't want to listen to me warbling on for an hour. This week, we were racing in Montreal in Canada for the Canadian Grand Prix. We'll start with qualifying because that's where all race weekends start. Actually, no, they don't. They start from practice, but we'll start with qualifying. Qualifying was not exactly the results that Di and I were expecting. And so we ended up with Russell taking out pole position, Verstappen in second. Worth pointing out that both of these drivers put on medium tires to clock their times. And the mediums this year are the old soft compound from last year. And the soft compounds, the C6 compounds, are new tires for Pirelli. They're a new compound for Pirelli. So worth noting that Russell and Verstappen, pole position and second, were on new mediums to clock those times. Piastri came in third. We had Antonelli in fourth, Hamilton in fifth, Alonso in sixth, Norris in seventh. He just couldn't really put a lap time together. It wasn't McLaren's weekend. We had Leclerc in eighth, Albon in ninth, and Hadjar in tenth. Most notable, I guess, happenings in the qualifying round, Albon brought out a red flag in Q1. It looked quite spectacular. There was pieces of bodywork flying everywhere. He didn't hit anything. It was just a spontaneous combustion on the track there. Unfortunately, that took him out of qualifying, which wasn't so great for him because he was on for a decent lap time. So that was basically our qualifying. The only other things worth mentioning are that Hadjar ended up with a 3-place penalty for impeding Sainz during the qualifying. Sainz ended up qualifying in 17th, and whether that was because of the impeding or not, who knows? So he dropped down and started from 13th, and that promoted Colapinto to 10th on the grid, because we also saw Tsunoda, who qualified in 11th, get a 10-place grid penalty, which was for overtaking Piastri under a red flag in one of the practice sessions after Piastri had hit the wall. So that meant that our starting grid for the race on Sunday was Russell in pole, Verstappen in second, Piastri, Antonelli, Hamilton, Alonso, Norris, Leclerc, Albon and Colapinto in 10th. Lawson and Gasly both started from the pit lane because they had a power unit upgrade. Stroll, his home Grand Prix, he has not got points in the Canadian Grand Prix ever. And he started from P17 this race, only ahead of Tsunoda, who was in P18 after that 10-place penalty that he copped, and Lawson and Gasly in the pit lane. So that was our race grid. It was interesting. It was a split strategy from the get-go. We had half of the grid starting on mediums and half of the grid starting on hards. Piastri was on a new set of mediums, and Russell, Verstappen, and Antonelli, I believe, were on used medium, but we had behind them Norris and Leclerc starting on a brand new set of hards. So it was an interesting strategy split, and it could have made for some really interesting strategy calls, but everyone was very, very conservative in the race, and even though there were different tyres and different tyre ages and different tyre wear. Everyone was pitting and changing tyres very, very conservatively. So this race, my three words to describe it were slow, slow burn. It was like watching a really, really, really long fuse burn down until the bomb detonated at around lap 64 of 70. So the race up until then, I wouldn't say it was boring. It was just slow and it was a strategy race. There was a fair bit of overtaking. It was, you know, there was excitement there, but it wasn't really racing. There were obviously lots of pit stops, which was changing up the order quite a bit and having to work out who had net lead, all that sort of thing. That was, you know, interesting, but if you were tired, you probably would have fallen asleep. But the opening lap was a lot of action. We saw Antonelli from fourth position manage to stick by the third turn and overtake on Piastri to take third position from Piastri, which was really, really cool to see the little 18-year-old getting in there, fighting aggressively, being so sure of his position and taking that. Also, all props to Piastri for realizing that he couldn't hold on around the outside of one of those turns. Otherwise, he would have done an Albon and gone flying over the grass. That was quite the spectacle. I didn't realize that Formula One cars could quite fly and bounce like he did. That came about because Colapinto and Albon were fighting for quite a few turns and it sent Albon off. Unfortunately, by lap 49, Albon ended up retiring. So his second retirement in as many as 2 weeks. It just was not a good week for him. He obviously had the issues in qualifying where his car weirdly exploded. Not the engine, the bodywork. He also, strategy-wise, they tried to keep him out on the medium tyre way longer than they should have. And he didn't pit when everyone else around him was pitting, which just saw him get overtake after overtake. Well, didn't see him get them. It saw people get overtake after overtake on him and he dropped back down the order quite significantly. And he sounded so dejected on the radio. He's such a nice guy that there was no anger. It was just disappointment, I think. And he ended up retiring lap 49 anyway. But yes, we then also saw a 10-second penalty coming for Stroll for forcing Pierre Gasly off the track. Gasly just went straight down the runoff. And it was in one of those instances where there just was not enough space left on the outside for him. So unfortunately, that 10-second penalty saw Stroll end up plumb last in 17th. There were some more DNFs. We'll get to that in a minute. He was plumb last in 17th. And that kind of broke his winning, well, not his winning streak, but it broke his streak of never not scoring in his home Grand Prix. So it was a pretty dismal home Grand Prix for poor Stroll too. When I say that watching this race was a slow, slow burn, lap 67 is where the TNT detonated. Before that, we were seeing, like I said, from about lap 64, was where we started seeing the top five. So Russell, Verstappen, Antonelli, Piastri, and by this stage, it was Norris in P5. He'd managed to pick his way through. We started to see them concertina up and the times between each driver were dropping. And so it was interesting seeing that happen because Norris was taking some good time out of Piastri. And obviously, they are the top two in the title fight at the moment. So all eyes were on those two. And we saw that gap come down. So Norris had DRS on Piastri. Piastri then was so focused on getting up to the back of Antonelli to get himself DRS as well to hold off Norris, I guess. And at that stage, things were really, really interesting because it really showed Piastri's cool, calm head. He was so unflappable with all this pressure from Norris from behind. He wasn't focused on Norris. He was focused on Antonelli in front and making sure that he was giving himself the advantage. Now, in the instance of Norris, if Piastri was unflappable, Norris was flappable. All this fighting, Norris obviously really, really wants to beat Piastri so that he gets more points. Understandable, they're in a title fight. Unfortunately, we've seen time and time again, he's not exactly the coolest headed of racers. And he's prone to making some silly mistakes. And what happened? He made a silly mistake on lap 67. There was some good fighting through three turns between him and Piastri. And Norris overtook Piastri. Piastri regains that position. And then Norris decided that he would try and go into a gap that wasn't there and drove straight up the back of Piastri and then into the wall, causing him to retire from the race. Fortunately for Piastri, this had no impact on his race and he continued on undamaged. But all props to Norris, because straight away on the radio, he was telling his team, he was apologizing and said, it was my fault. Now, we know Norris is not like Verstappen and doesn't tend to blame clear mistakes of his own on other people, but still all props to him for saying, my fault, silly move, I was stupid. He apologized to Piastri after the race. There's some footage of Piastri going into a media conference, I guess, and you can hear Norris apologizing and shaking hands, and it's all good camaraderie at the moment. Of course this is going to happen. It's a title fight. They're going to come together. There's going to be, I guess, some, not animosity, but there's going to be fighting there for the championship. But currently there's no animosity, which is really, really nice to see. So that was probably the biggest action of the race, is this collision between Piastri and Norris, because it meant so much in the championship too. It meant that obviously Norris got no points because he didn't finish, which opened up the gap between Piastri, who is currently leading the title championship, and Norris by even more. So Piastri is currently 198 points and Norris is 176. So the gap has widened by 12 points exactly. And then it has brought Verstappen closer in that title fight to Norris, because Norris got no points and Verstappen came second. So it's interesting. It's going to be an interesting title fight. But yeah, that is basically what happened in the race. Obviously, biggest congratulations to Kimi Antonelli, who came in third. It was Russell, Verstappen, and Antonelli on the podium. The 18-year-old is the third youngest person to ever get a podium. He's following only Verstappen and Stroll. So yeah, he took out third, which he very, very deservingly got after overtaking Piastri. Him in the cool down room was the cutest thing ever. He was saying that he was watching the fight behind him between Piastri and Norris and kept thinking, it's going to be this lap, it's going to be this lap, it's going to be this corner, something's going to happen. And then when it finally did, and coming down wheel to wheel on that straight where obviously there was the collision, Antonelli was like, oh, I just didn't know who to give the slipstream to. Like, did I go left or did I go right? So it was very cute that he was focusing on that. To see the camaraderie between him and Russell, both up there on the podium together, and Russell, big handshakes, big hug, you know, was fully basking in both his moment and in Antonelli's moment. It was very, very sweet. So big congratulations to Russell, who, it's his first win of the season. I think it's his fourth win overall. Last year, he came in pole for this race. Didn't manage to convert it to a win, but this year he's done it. So big congratulations to all three on the podium. And I'll just finish up with the top 10. After Antonelli, it was Piastri in fourth, Leclerc, Hamilton, Alonso, Hülkenberg, Ocon, Sainz, Behrmann, Tsunoda, Colapinto, Bortoletto, Gasly, Hadjar, Stroll. And obviously we had Albon and Norris that DNF'd, but Lawson also DNF'd in there as well. So I said I'd go through the top 10. I went through all 17, but that was the race. Now, traveling to Canada and Montreal, I can't say that I have done it. I know Di has been to Canada and she absolutely loved it. But I haven't been, so this is going to be a short and sweet little section on travel. I will say that I'm not a big city person, and Montreal actually really appeals to me because it looks like there is a lot of nature, especially if you're looking at the city from the perspective of the racetrack, which was a man-made island made for the Olympics back in the 70s or 80s. I can't remember when it was held in Montreal. I wasn't born yet. That man-made track is on wetlands. There's a lot of water around. So when the races, well, when Formula One's not racing around there, as you would have seen during the race, there are a lot of groundhogs running around. There's a lot of nature, a lot of water. It's probably a really beautiful place to walk. But there also looks to be a really, really beautiful waterfront in Montreal. Now, Montreal is actually in Quebec, which is a French-speaking part of Canada. So I guess when you're there, you'll notice that a lot of things are French sounding or French named. There is a beautiful Jardin Botanique de Montréal, which obviously named French, but botanic gardens, there are the Jean Talon markets, typical kind of things, I guess, that you would find in any big city. There's lots of museums, lots of galleries, but if you like the water, if you like nature, there's the Vieux Port de Montréal, which is obviously a port. You've got the Botanic Gardens, Mount Royal Park. There are all sorts of things. Like I said, I have not been there, so I can't really give you personal opinion, but there is that. This week, unfortunately, I had another headache, so cooking was very, very limited, but I did manage to make crepes with proper Canadian maple syrup, none of this maple-flavored syrup. It was maple syrup from the maple tree, which I'm very specific about buying because it is all natural. It's not made from sugars and stuff like that. Obviously, it's very sweet and sugary, but it's natural sugars. So we had pancakes with maple syrup. Otherwise, I would have made a poutine, but it's very, very hard to find cheese curds here. So poutine it was not. But aside from that, the only other things that are happening this week in Formula One are the rumors that are swirling about Fred Vasseur and his, I guess, tenure or remaining tenure at Ferrari. So there was a rumor that started from two of the top sports journalists in Italy, both from different publications. And it was basically they were questioning and talking about Fred Vasseur's position and whether or not it was going to remain. And so after this has come out, Fred Vasseur has actually come out and kind of quashed those rumors. And both the drivers, Leclerc and Hamilton, have also backed him up and kind of quashed those rumors. So we don't know if there's any kind of weight to what has been said. But yeah, that's about all that's happened this week. Like I said, I'm going to keep it short and sweet because I don't have someone to bounce ideas off and to bounce conversation off, and you don't want to hear me speak forever. So if you like what you've heard or watched or have liked what you've heard or seen previously, please leave us a rating or a comment on your favorite podcast listening app or on YouTube if that's where you're watching. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram. You can also email us at andawaywego f1podcast@gmail.com if you have anything to say. We do have a 2-week break coming up, so we will be back, the two of us. Obviously not talking about a race. I don't know what I'm going to do without the races. Oh, it's going to be a hard 2 weeks. We won't be talking about the races, but we will be back. So keep an eye out for new episodes or an ear out. And then after those 2 weeks, we will be back for Austria. So thank you for listening, guys. Thanks for having us in your ears. And until next week, and until lights out.
It's lights out and away we go.
And Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto and Monique Ciccato. Let's do it.